Hey friend, do you know how many times the average smartphone user touches his or her phone in a day, doing actions like typing, tapping, and swiping? What's your guess? 100 times? 500 times? 1,000 times a day? All of those are a lot, but actually, it's far worse. Studies find an average user touches their phone, get this, 2,617 times every day, with heavy users clocking upwards of 5,427 touches. Oh my. No wonder we don't have time. We're giving it away to this lesser thing that follows us around like an extra appendage because it's never more than an arm's reach away, right? Screens and devices aren't going anywhere soon, and they can be used for all kinds of good in both life and business to love God and love others. Hence, last year's Lent series named Redeem Her Phone Time. But I'm going to guess that even if you did follow along with that study, your phone has even more of your attention than it used to back in the day. And even if it does have less of your time these days, it still has too much of your heart. So whether you think you have a diagnosis of screen addiction or just a mild case of screen dependency, chances are you have a heart problem called screen idolatry. Why? Because it gets more of your time, attention, and affection than God. So let's touch on a topic, pun intended, that we all need to hear. Reaching out to Him more than and before your device. That, my friend, is putting Him back on the throne. Are you ready to get in touch with your screens today in a good way? Good. Me too. Hey, busy lady, trying to juggle all the things in midlife and business. I see you. Are you tired of feeling like you're constantly on the hamster wheel, doing all the things you've been told are required to grow a successful business? Are you ready to slow down the pace of life and focus your time on what's really necessary to experience abundant fruitfulness this year? Are you desiring to finally stop second-guessing, people-pleasing, box-checking, and multitasking, and instead have a way of building a business that is life-giving, not sucking the life out of you? Friend, you are not just building a business. You are pursuing the purpose God has for your life to glorify Him in all you do. So let me invite you to the most heart, calendar, and should-do list shaping virtual event of the year for Christian women, solo, and entrepreneurs who are ready to ditch random busyness in exchange for faithful fruitfulness in both life and business. And who are doing it with clarity, confidence, and consistency, even in the midst of the chaos of midlife. It's called CEO's Declutter Should Do's 3-day workshop series, and it's happening live April 9 through 11. Inside this exclusive workshop series, you're going to discover my With God business model, how to get clarity on your mission by crafting a With God vision, confidence in your messaging by laying a With God foundation, consistency in your motivation by building with God plans, and calm in your messy midlife by balancing a with God life. This is how women who know who they are and whose they are do business, in full assurance of faith and true partnership with God. If you're looking to see a return on the investment of your time and resources that's no longer a meager yield but an abundant harvest, if you're tired of listening to the world's gurus that tell you have to do all the things to please a fictitious avatar and mysterious algorithm, if you're ready to lay down what keeps you from fully turning off so you can truly rest and still grow your impact and income, if you've decided with God that this is the year you're going all in for His glory without worrying about everyone else's permission, persuasion, or perception, then I want to invite you to redeem your time and your free ticket to the CEO's Declutter Should Do's workshop series now, and access special early bird bonuses like my brand new CEO's Foundational Decisions Guide to walk you through 3 key decisions you must make as a CEO with God before you build any further. So if you're looking for a faith-centered system with truth-based support to ensure your business is well-built as well as your life, all you need to do is go to redeemhertime.com/declutter to RSVP for the workshop. And
I'll see you in your inbox with all the details, plus your free bonus guide.
Hey friend, can you hear me over all the noise out there? Let's be honest. We have a lot of voices calling for our attention, but it's not just the advertiser, the influencer, or the YouTuber, AKA the people who just want to sell you their stuff. It's also the gurus, the experts, the do what I didders, AKA the people who just want to sell you their advice. And thanks to the constant connection we have to media, platforms, and devices, well, life can get a bit noisy. So, who do you listen to? The noisiest? The boldest? The flashiest? The one who promises you the world, but whose world always looks a little too touched up, too airbrushed, and too picture perfect? Or the one who says, don't look at me, but look to him? Girl, in a world that just wants to sell you something, you've got to be discerning about whose voice you listen to and turn off all the others so you can hear his with clarity. May I make a suggestion, since you obviously like to listen to my voice? Listen to those who don't make it look like it's all their great idea or the best kept secret sauce you've been searching for, because while it may have worked for them back in the day, that doesn't mean it will work today or for you, or more importantly, for where you want to go with God in the future. You see, back in the day, I wasted a lot of time listening to a lot of voices, the trainers, the authors, the speakers. And while yes, I did pick up a few nuggets that actually stuck and helped me grow, most of it was just noise. And once the algorithm updated, it all changed anyway, and then I was back at square one. So, when I found someone who was teaching timeless truths that weren't going away anytime soon, and that actually felt authentic and aligned with what God had called me to, I turned up the volume on their voice and turned off all the others. And you know what? I noticed I wasn't as indecisive, confused, or doubtful. I stopped doing all the should-dos those other voices told me to do. And I finally had clarity, confidence, and consistency because I knew where I was going and how to get there. So, may I ask, who are you listening to? It's not lost on me that each time you press play, you choose to listen to my voice. But I hope, whether we've been hanging out for a while now, or you just happened to stumble across this podcast recently, that you know it's really not my voice, it's his. You see, once I stopped listening to all the voices that weren't building a business that glorified him, I started first listening to his voice in my daily CEO meeting with God, and then to a select few who were also listening to his voice and kept pointing me back to him. And you know what I found? Not only did that give me a lot of time back, it also gave me the space to let him speak, for me to listen, and then to take action with God. So if you want to listen to less voices and focus on the ones that will truly help you build a with God business, then I want to invite you to RSVP for the CEO's Declutter Should Do's live 3-day workshop series happening April 9 through 11. Once you start learning how to listen to his voice for what he has called you to as a Christ-empowered operator of your God-given business, you'll better be able to declutter that list of should-dos you've accumulated over the years. You know, the ones you thought were going to give you that big break, the ones you keep meaning to get back to, but never seem to because, well, there never seems to be enough time. Maybe that's not such a bad thing, because that means it will be easier to let go of the ones you didn't get around to. And even if you did happen to implement a handful or a truckload of those should-dos, it's going to feel really good to empty the trash of what's not necessary to build the life and business that he has called you to, in the way he's called you to, in the time he's called you to. Just go to redeemhertime.com/declutter to redeem your time and your free ticket. And then I'll send all the details to your inbox, along with the early bird bonus guide, 3 CEO foundational decisions you must make before you build your business any further. And friend, you're going to walk away from our 3 days together, hearing his voice more clearly and knowing what voices to listen to that will help you go from that random busyness to faithful fruitfulness with God in both life and business. I don't know about you, but the thought of decluttering my should-dos sounds even more exciting than decluttering my closet now that it's officially spring. Speaking of which, happy first day of spring from the other side of the world, where they're celebrating Navruz today to welcome spring. Wherever you are, before any more time flies, hop on over to redeemhertime.com/declutter to grab your spot before it gets buried in your to-do list. Speaking of clutter, do you know what the new kind of clutter we're dealing with these days is? Digital clutter. Yep, we have more screens, devices, and accessories than we can count in our homes. Anyone else have an entire drawer of chargers that don't seem to plug into anything? Man, that drawer felt good to clean out, and so far, we haven't needed anything that we tossed. But it's not just the physical devices, the watches, the tablets, the laptops, the desktops, the TV screens, that are all sitting on nearly every surface in a typical house. It's what they give access to that's the even bigger issue. Sometimes it's just all too much. And do we really need it? Are our lives that much more improved by having access to it all than when we just didn't know and went about our days just fine? Case in point, my hubby recently got one of those smartwatches. I like to call it his go-go gadget watch. Wow, did that just date me? It tells him everything from the weather, to the news, to his last texts, to the stock market, that he doesn't even follow, but feels the need to update me on because now he's in the know. It does so much, it's easy to forget that it also tells you the time. No, thank you. I don't want something that vibrates, flashes, rings, dings, and pings all day and night so close to me. Plus, just seeing those green lights in the backside sends me into all kind of what-if thoughts about the effect of those on our health over time. I instead opted not just for a watch with no digital screen, but also one with no numbers, lines, or dots, because I don't need to know the exact minute or all that info all of the time. I just didn't need to know what it's time for. I don't have a screen on my wrist, neither do I have much knowledge about how to work the smart TV screen that sits on top of the bookshelf in the living room. The joke at our house is that Mom doesn't know how to use the remote, which is not true, because technically I do know how. I just choose not to turn it on. But I like acting like I don't, because then I'm not tempted to turn it on. True story, I only watched one movie by myself when my hubby was gone for nearly 3 months. That's not including the Lord of the Rings marathon with my kids when they were home over break. But that doesn't mean I don't have struggles with screens, just not certain screens. Because it's not so much a matter of how big the screen, how close the screen, or even how many screens you have access to. It's about how much access those screens and what's on them has on your heart. It's sad, but screen addiction is a real thing. And it's not just affecting the younger generation that's grown up with a screen in front of them since the day they were born. It's us women in midlife who suddenly have access to all kinds of information, connection, and entertainment than we had growing up. And let's be honest, we kind of like it. Back in the day, if you wanted to watch something, you gathered as a family around the radio to hear the big game or the program. Then, when movies came out, you headed to the big screen of the theater with your friends. Then, when TVs started showing up in homes, I remember sitting down in front of the screen on the right day at the right time to watch that favorite weekly show. And it was a huge treat if that also meant eating dinner in front of the TV. Then it went from one TV in the house to nearly one in every room, where kids and adults alike can spend hours watching screens alone. And then it got smaller to tablets that can travel anywhere with us and phones that rarely leave our hands or back pocket. All of that is making screens way too easy to access, so much so we can't imagine life without them. And we forget we actually did live that way at one time. Remember? Today, they inform the way we speak, relate, act, think, and live. They help build our worldview. They connect us to people both near and far. Does anyone else text your hubby or daughter who's just in the next room too? They make shopping and navigating and giving and nearly everything else easier with just the click of a button. Now sure, they make life easier, but they also give us a whole lot more to fend off than we used to. Don't you agree? And I find it interesting that in the documentary Social Dilemma, CEOs of platforms like Facebook said they don't even allow their own kids to have access to it on their screens. Why? Because they know what it's created to do to you, to form and conform you. Even Paul spoke to this issue thousands of years ago when writing to the Christians living in the midst of the Roman culture that pressed in on all sides. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect." But the problem is, we're being so conformed to the world, we can't hardly hear his voice anymore to even begin to discern what his good, pleasing, and perfect will for us is, because there's just too much constant noise coming at us from our screens. And it's true, what you give your time to is what forms you. How much time are you giving to your screens and what worlds they open up to you? Screens can open up our minds and hearts to all kinds of evil, which is why the psalmist said in Psalm 101, verse 3, "I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what is faithless. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it." Now, I'm not saying that screens are all evil and controlled by the enemy, but they do have the potential to lead to a lot of the blatant things of this world. But with people like you and like me, who are seeking to walk with God, the enemy is much more subtle, just making it a little off color, a little immoral, or worse, a little distracting, with no real return on investment of our time. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, Paul addresses things that take us away from Christ, like sexual immorality, saying, "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything." I've even heard it from professing Christians in regards to watching sexual immorality on a screen. "It's just actors in a movie. It's not affecting me." But is it? And even if it isn't affecting you in any way, is it even a good use of time or something that will glorify him and matter into eternity? The enemy and the app and the platform and media developers just want your eyes. Because if they've got your eyes, they've got your ears, your mind, and ultimately your heart, as well as your time. Like we said in the last episode, it's when the line gets blurred between a good thing and a God thing. That's when it becomes idolatry. So how do you know if you've fallen into screen idolatry? Here are a few heart check questions to ask yourself from the Daily Grace Co. study. First, do you run to your screen first thing in the morning? Do you look at your screens when you have idle time? Do your screens push time with God into the margins? Do you find yourself unwilling to be without a screen nearby? Or for an even bigger heart check, go check your current screen time on your closest device. How does it make you feel to know that that much of your time went to that? These questions can serve as a way to identify how much we worship our screens or who and what they give us access to, and how much they consume us. We can use them to connect with others in a way that rules our time and attention. We can use them to search for approval and recognition. We can use them to indulge in pleasures and passions of the culture. We can use the mindless entertainment they provide to deal with our stress, or rather, to ignore it. All needs which we should be looking to God to fulfill. And not only can the screens themselves be idols, they can also become enablers of other idols and vehicles to misplace our worship. They feed our busyness. They foster our need for comfort and control. They make us feel more self-sufficient. They direct our focus to treasures on earth. They tempt us to hyper-focus on our home and our stuff. They show us where our bodies don't measure up. They lead us to compare our relationships with others. They promise us passion and pleasure. But barely any of the time spent on screens leads us to Him, the true source of all we need for life and godliness. So why do we give so much time to lesser things? And better yet, how can we give it time with intention and redeem the time with the amazing things it can be used for to love God and love others? I'm so glad you asked. Let me give you a quick overview of how to redeem your screen time. And if you want a deeper dive, I encourage you to go back and listen to the Redeem Her Phone Time series on episodes 105 to 122. Listen to the topics we covered. The number one tip to find 1 to 4 hours in your day, aka put down your phone. 2 key steps to overcome digital distraction as a Christian woman. 3 steps to break up with your phone with healthy screen time boundaries. 4 steps to create a personalized phone time plan to prioritize what matters. 5 tips to dumb down your smartphone and get rid of distractions in your day. 3 steps to build the kingdom of God with your phone instead of your own. 5 no phone zones to make better use of your time anyway. 3 questions to ask to be transformed by God more than your phone. 5 speed bumps to make your phone less accessible and get your time back.
3 steps to not be a hypocrite and redeem your phone time and heart. 5 apps to love God more and make better use of your phone time. 4 things Jesus teaches that should make you put down your phone. 5 apps to love others more and make better use of your phone time. 4 truths from the Psalms that should make you put down your phone. 5 times in your day, it's actually good to multitask with your phone to grow. 3 ways an eternal perspective directs your phone use and time management. 5 ways to remember God's faithfulness with your phone as a busy Christian. And 10 reflection questions to help you keep redeeming your phone time. Wow, we covered a lot. And my favorite question from that last one is, when you are 100, how do you want others to remember you? And what will they say about your phone? Wow, that should make you think twice the next time you pick it up. Now, please hear me in this. I'm not saying to flush your phone down the toilet or throw it out the window. Just when you do pick it up, have more intention about what you will do on it and how that's making you more like Jesus. Use it to listen to a scripture meditation or sermon or podcast like Redeem Her Time. Watch, in moderation, movies and shows that redemptively point you to the gospel, like The Chosen. Use a news report or podcast to be informed about how to pray for the world around us, like Relatable. Scroll social or engage in communities with an eye to see opportunities to encourage others, like the Redeem Her Time community. And better yet, lose your phone more often. When was the last time you truly didn't know where your phone was because you were so caught up in the Kairos moment? When was the last time you intentionally put it on the counter when your hubby or kids walked in, or put it to bed well before you crawled under the covers? I shudder to think, what are we missing when our eyes are looking down so much of the time? And what are others feeling when they see the top of our head more than the white of our eyes? When it's all said and done, what regrets will you have about the amount of time you spent on your phone versus with God, with others, or in His creation? Why do you pick up your phone when you do? And how are you picking up what will conform you into the image of His Son before that or more than that? Here are a few reminders from Scripture that apply to our screen time. And then I've got a fun way to remember to redeem your screen time. Proverbs 4:25-27 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and keep your foot from evil." And Philippians 4:8-9 says, "Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I don't know about you, but I have way more peace, and the kind of peace that lasts when I'm not looking at a screen, but instead looking to Him. Don't you? Here are a few reflection questions to determine if screens have your heart. Are you ready? How are you tempted to idolize your screen or use it to enable other idols of your heart? In what ways can you intentionally choose not to engage with screens in a sinful way and instead engage with them in a godly way? And how does the truth of the gospel transform the way and how often you use your screen? As women wanting to redeem our time, let's live with attention and intention around our screens. And with minds and hearts transformed by the word of the gospel, we can properly engage with screens when we do take them up in the morning in a God-honoring way to build a with God life or business. Speaking of which, if you want to turn off all the noise of the gurus and experts and intentionally listen to His voice and the voices of those seeking Him as we redeem our time in life and business, I invite you to RSVP to the CEO's Declutter Should Do's live event and start building the life and business that He has called you to, especially doing it alongside other committed Christian women who are solo and entrepreneurs too, that are ready to ditch the random busyness that the world tells us for faithful fruitfulness. Just hop over to redeemhertime.com/declutter and check your inbox for all the details, links, and early bird bonus guide. Speaking of coming alongside other Christian women seeking to redeem their time for His glory, I want to invite you to come join the conversation I've intentionally built off of social, where it's not so noisy and distracting, at redeemhertime.com/community. In fact, I have a feeling this is going to be a great conversation. So here is today's community question. What is one way that you will give less time to your screens so you can give more time to Him and what He's called you to. I invite you, come share your commitment and let's hold each other accountable to actually doing it. And it's my gift to you when you pop in the community or email the word screen to Lissa@redeemhertime.com. I will send you a free phone wallpaper with the Redeem Her Time verse on it. That way, before you wake it up, you'll be woken up to what the Spirit is leading you to do with your time. Ephesians 5:15-16. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because these are difficult days. Amen to that. I don't know about you, but it is difficult to not always pick up our phones and listen to all the voices that we hear. So let's pray. Dear God, we confess this is a hard one. It's easy to fall into the habits of the world around us when it comes to our phones. Forgive us for turning to screens before scripture and to posts before prayer. Show us where we are allowing our phones to become idols or to enable our idols, and give us the wisdom to put our phones down more and no longer engage in the things of this world that consume us and conform us. Instead, we ask that you prompt us by your Spirit when and how to pick them up with intention, to use them as a tool to love you and love others even more. Thank you that you do speak so we can hear. And as we turn off all the noise and the voices, may we hear you even more clearly and seek the silence into which you often want to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, friend, I'll see you over inside the Redeem Her Time community where we'll talk more about this. Thanks for joining me for this episode. Until next time, remember, instead of chasing time on a clock, trying to control it, receive the gift of time from the one who truly holds it. Because as his daughter, you have time. Hey, before you go, I pray this episode blessed you, challenged you, and moved you to take action. So, what was the one thing God showed you today? I'd love to hear. So would you take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts? It makes my heart smile, and that way I know you're liking the show. And it helps other busy Christian women, just like you, find real life answers too. Speaking of which, grab the link and share this with someone you know that's been praying for a breakthrough. And don't forget to come join the after party inside the Redeem Her Time community. We're not just about knowing, we're about doing together. Head on over to redeemhertime.com to join the community, leave a question to be featured on the podcast, schedule a free 15-minute strategy session, or all the above. Of course, I'll drop the link in the show notes because I know you're a busy girl. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16. I'll see you in a few days, friend. God bless.